Good morning. Our first lesson today is from Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 and verses 16. It is found on page 974 of your Pew Bible. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In verse 16. Your eyes saw my uniform body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Our second lesson is Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and is found on 1827 of your Pew Bible. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Here ends our second lesson.
Thanks, Marie. I'm reading from page 1588 of your Pew Bible, Luke 1, 26 to 45. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Here ends the lesson. It was good timing, wasn't it? Here ends the lesson. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
I think we all thank the young people for such a good job this morning. And they did wonderful, and I thank them for their work and for their dedication to the task this morning. And what we've seen here is so often the traditional Christmas story where we see Jesus, the arrival of Jesus from heaven to the manger. And we're all familiar as we think of the scene at Bethlehem in the opening chapter of Jesus' journey on earth. We see the newborn Savior. We see the glowing parents, the singing angels, the astounded shepherds, all of these things. And so we're very familiar with this. And yet, I would submit to you this morning, I want to try to say something, a few things for us to take home and an application, some things to ponder on about this story that we're so familiar with. And perhaps it's something we've not considered before, because what we've seen here, the story of Christ, traditionally omits the first 9 months of the story. Our Savior's first months on earth were experienced in the womb of a young mother. And some of the most profound lessons of Christmas arise from the pregnancy of two mothers that I'm going to talk to you about, just if you just listen these few minutes we have left, because their stories are often overlooked. And the challenge for us this morning is to learn and apply some valuable lessons from this story. First of all, there is a lesson about life from the womb of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Mary's older cousin. And after Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, as we heard them read this morning, when she conceived by the Holy Spirit, sometime after that, she visited her older cousin Elizabeth, who was living in Judah. And the much older and previously barren Elizabeth, in fact, the scriptures say that she was thought not to be able to have a child. And God intervened and gave Elizabeth and her priest husband, Zechariah, he miraculously gave them a child. They conceived a little boy who ultimately would be born and would be called John the Baptist, the great forerunner and prophet who prophesied and laid the foundation for Jesus as he came. And it says in Luke 1, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she said to Mary, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. This baby, John the Baptist, was conscious of the presence of his cousin, Jesus, and experienced the emotion of joy in the womb of Elizabeth. This is a powerful lesson for us this morning of the truth that life begins not at birth, but at conception. John was a living soul and capable of an awareness of his surroundings and able to express joy. Scriptures tell us in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you," speaking of God, "you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Verse 16, he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed being. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Life begins before we start counting the days following the birth of a child. It begins in the womb. Now, there's some, that's a lesson on life from Elizabeth, but there's some lessons on living that we can learn from the womb of Mary. Three this morning that I'd like to share with you. In Luke 1:30, it says that the angel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You'll be with child. You'll give birth to a son. And you'll give him the name of Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary," because she said, "How will this happen, seeing as I'm a virgin?" He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Everything we've seen here this morning tells us of that day so long ago when God supernaturally brought his Son into the world. So three lessons. Number one, we have a lesson on humility. It's incredible to think of God growing from a little embryo to a baby in the dark tranquility of Mary's womb, developing to the rhythm of the heartbeat of a young Jewish woman living a very simple life in the simple land of Galilee. Jesus Christ, God himself, humbled himself to come into this world, subjecting himself to the journey of humanity that all of us follow. But for him, it eventually led to death on a cross. Jesus Christ, perhaps the only one that's ever been born that came into this world, who came not to live, but came to die. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, "Who being in the very nature God did not consider equally with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus' humility is especially incomprehensible. It's especially unfathomable. I can't get my mind around it. When you consider his translation from the worship of angels and the radiant, bombastic glories of heaven that he enjoyed, to ultimately coming to this earth to the quiet and gentle conception of a virgin womb. This little girl, perhaps 13 or 14 years old, who carried the Savior in her womb. It's incomprehensible to think of how Jesus would do something like that. Humility, that total dependence upon God, humility does not come easy for us in our society of self-promotion, in our world of aggressive advancement. We're always thinking of how we can go forward and get better and go up the ladder. But humility, ladies and gentlemen, is that model that God wants each and every one of us to follow. Models of true humility are hard to find. Even in the church today, they're hard to find. Yet if we can gaze at the humility of our Savior, not just in his earthly ministry, but also before his birth, in the womb of Mary, we will be inspired and graced to walk humbly with our God. Every one of us need God. To live our lives dependent upon God, knowing that we need Almighty God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need God. If he's not your Savior this morning, you need to trust him as your Lord and Savior. If he is your Savior, you need to trust him with every moment of your life as you walk through this world. A lesson on humility. Secondly, a lesson about vulnerability. Any family that's been witness to the journey of a pregnant mother knows the care and concern of the maternal heart. She does everything possible to nourish and nurture that little baby in her womb, to provide and to protect the life that is forming inside of her body. That young life is vulnerable. That young life is entirely dependent upon the supply of her mother. She or he can do nothing by itself. She totally depends upon her mother. So Christmas, think of Christmas. Christmas is all about God becoming a fetus. It baffles our understanding this morning how that can happen. Deity, still fully God. Jesus never quit being God. But deity, still fully God, became fully human. Fully God, fully human. But fully reliant on the provision of a young Jewish girl. What incredible exposure. The Savior made himself vulnerable. Most of us shirk vulnerability at every turn. We don't want to be vulnerable. We want to be strong. We want to be aloof and well protected by our manipulative relationships that become too intimate or costly. We don't want too many people to know too much about us. We want to be successful. We want to be prosperous. But this morning I submit to you that we need a fresh consideration of Jesus. Dependent and at risk. He came dependent upon his mother. At risk. Yet living as an example for us all. Inspiring us to be vulnerable in order to be effective in ministry. You cannot touch other lives and you cannot really be effective in ministry when you stand aloof and you stand as one who knows no needs. It's only when you allow yourself to be hurt And when you allow yourself to fail, and it's through failure and it's through being unnoticed and exploited by others, that you learn how to feel what others feel. You learn to experience what others experience, and so that you can reach out, touch the lives of others. It's only by being vulnerable that we can be effective in touching and loving the lives of others. Thirdly, a lesson about obscurity. To consider that Jesus moved from the center stage of heaven to the secrecy of a womb is also staggering to our understanding. This was the one who would do such great things as raise the dead and calm the sea, teach the multitudes and feed thousands miraculously. He'd redeem mankind on a cross and ultimately rise from the grave in supernatural victory. I think if it was me, how I would announce, and maybe many of us, how we would announce the coming of the Son of God into this world, we'd blow the trumpets, we'd call a big press conference, we'd have it all on all the stations, we'd let everybody know about it, we'd make it a big deal. But that wasn't the Father's plan. God, his plan was for the arrival and the future ministry of his Son to begin in quiet secrecy. Nobody would see it. Nobody would know. We don't do well with obscurity these days, do we? It seems like everyone wants to make an impression on Twitter. We want to accumulate all kinds of friends on Facebook. We want to amass as many readers as possible in our blog world. We want everybody to know about our accomplishments, from telling them what we had for breakfast to what we did last week, and all of these trivialities. We dream of thousands and thousands of views on YouTube, or at least some frequent pats on the back at work. Yet we learn much from the Savior who made himself nothing. The Creator became the created. And he started in a womb. The lesson on obscurity tells us, reminds us that it's not about us. It's not about all that we can do and all that we can accomplish, but the focus of our lives ought to be about him. All, every breath, every activity, everything we do, the focus ought to be upon Jesus. Not about us. Two baby boys. This Christmas, I think we would do well to remember the abounding joy of John the Baptist, fully alive inside his aged mother. We can learn much if we'll remember that Silent Night began not in that night in Bethlehem, but at conception for the King of the Jews in a quiet, miraculous moment someplace in Galilee. Two mothers. May God give us grace this morning to feel the delight of Elizabeth and hear the heartbeat of Mary in order to learn the lessons from two baby boys yet to be born, but who would impact the world like none other. The challenge for us this morning and for this season, for this time of year, and forever is to live out those lessons in our lives. Be humble. Realize how much we need Jesus. Give him our lives. Be dependent upon him. Be vulnerable. Seek that vulnerability. Put it all at risk for him. Let him lead and guide and protect our lives. And lastly, let us be obscure. Don't look for our name to be great, but look for his. Do what we can to exalt and magnify him. Bow your head.